Welcome, everyone. This is Freethinkers Living Sober Group's workshop on varieties of secular experience, navigating AA the secular way. It's the last Sunday of the month, and it's August, so here we are. We're going to have three speakers sharing experience, strength, and hope on some aspect of getting and staying and living sober in AA the secular way. And these workshops are all recorded, and they'll be available on the Freethinkers Living Sober website, which John or somebody will post. If you want to collect the whole set, you can certainly do that. We've got a reading to kick things off, and I'm going to just, who would like to read for us?
I'd be happy to.
Oh, please, Kenji.
Hi, I'm Kenji. Here. I'm an addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Kenji.
In AA, we're supposed to be bound together in the kinship of universal suffering. Therefore, the full liberty to practice any creed or principle or therapy should be a first consideration. Hence, let us not pressure anyone with individual or even collective views. Let us instead accord to each other the respect that is due to every human being as he tries to make his way towards the light. Let us always try to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Let us remember that each alcoholic among us is a member of AA so long as he or she so declares. And that's from Bill Wilson's 1965 address to the General Service Conference.
At Toronto's Maple Leaf Gardens, it doesn't say that, it should. I'm Joe, and I'm an alcoholic addict in recovery.
Hey, Joe.
And why am I here? I'm a member of Beyond Belief, Agnostics, and Freethinkers Group in Toronto. Yes, I haven't defected, but I consider myself an associate member at Living Sober Freethinkers in Cottonwood, Arizona. It seemed like for a period of time, it was the second most common group I would be at in our face-to-face world, you know, besides my own home group. So I hope they feel the same way about me, but it feels like a home to me. And if in the new world, whatever that looks like, you're in the Verde Valley, you should definitely check this meeting out. So the theme of the group is an aspiration of open-mindedness. And we encourage the sharing of others, particularly those with whom we disagree. We ask only that everyone share without attempting to dissuade, argue, or disrespect anyone else in their beliefs. As a group, we are secular. That is, we don't endorse or oppose any belief system. We don't have any quarrel with any religion. We also do not use prayer of any kind in our workshop or meetings. Our only wish is to assure suffering alcoholics that we can find sobriety in AA without having to accept anyone else's beliefs, nor having to deny our own. So we're going to have the speakers come up in order. I believe it's going to be Tracy from Canada, then Holly from the UK, and Melinda from the United States of America. And if it's not someone, do this. Otherwise, I think that's the order. And then I might have a couple questions for them after they share. And then we're going to open it up to the floor where you can either just talk about what's on your mind or comment on what you heard or ask questions. There's no hard, no crosstalk rule here. And we'd love to hear from you no matter how long you've been sober or what brought you here. This is being recorded, so keep anonymity in mind. We'll have a timer to help allow as many people as possible to share. After 3 minutes, you'll get a gesture to wrap up. Yeah, like that. And then if you just suddenly become muted, that'd be 3 minutes, 15 seconds or so into it. Yeah, carry on. If you're in the middle of something big, we want to hear it. So it's an honor and privilege to be part of this today. We often have people who are dry so long they're a fire hazard, and we really wanted to focus on the future of AA, people new in AA, equals, of course, not neither greater nor lesser, but people who have found their sobriety on Zoom in the pandemic. And without any further ado, Tracy S. from Fort Erie, Canada.
Hi, everybody. My name's Tracy, and I'm an alcoholic. Really happy to be chosen to speak here today. Hopefully, I'll help somebody. I do feel a little nervous. I don't know why. I don't usually feel too nervous, but today I do. Okay, so I'd first like to say that I have a little over 13 months of sobriety. It took me about 35 years to get that. It's not my first time around the AA block, so to speak, although I had been out of AA for at least 5 years before I came back in. COVID-19 happened, and it really was the thing that set me over the edge. My drinking got right out of hand, and I ended up finding Zoom meetings, which was the silver lining on COVID-19. I absolutely love Zoom, and I love secular AA. I didn't even find secular AA on Zoom until I was probably 3 months into Zoom meetings. And I was going to this meeting that I thought would be less, I always use the word gaudy, even though it's not a real word, but it was called Spirit of the Universe. So I thought it was more like a higher power kind of thing. It was a meditation meeting. So I went to that for a while, and I was enjoying it. But once again, it was like, I have to find this higher power. And the whole time that I've been in AA for all these 30 years, I was always told I had to find a higher power, AKA God, in order to stay sober. And I'm a rather gullible person. And I guess I follow people too. I used to think I was a leader, but through being sober for a while and looking at myself, I realized, no, I'm a follower. And, so once again, even in Zoom, I was thinking I had to find this higher power. And then I went to this other meeting. Like this group had another morning meeting, and they said, it's really good. You should go. We use all this other material. So one day I finally decided to go to that meeting, and they were like, my higher power is Jesus and all this stuff. And I was like, I was just like, it just made me go crazy for some reason. And I just couldn't go back to that group. So I looked on the Zoom, and I found secular all of a sudden. So I was like, oh, I'll try this secular. And I found secular, and I've never looked back. So really, because of Jesus, I found secular AA. So Jesus saved me from having to find God in a higher power. And I mean, for some people, that's wonderful and great. But for me, it wasn't. And the reason is, I spent all those years in AA, and I'm not saying I didn't learn good things, and the people were really good, and everyone that told me I needed a higher power or God, I believe were truly trying to help me from the, you know, in a very kind, loving way. Unfortunately, what it did was cause me to do what I do, which is people please and go along with the crowd. So instead of really realizing what it was I believed in and standing up for myself, I truly believed that I'd have to find this higher power in God. So I spent a lot of time doing that. And of course, I wasn't getting anywhere. I'd kind of do the fake it till you make it kind of thing, thinking that would work. But ultimately, I was being dishonest with myself. And one of the biggest things I think in sobriety is to be honest with yourself. So it doesn't really surprise me that I ended up going out, because I wasn't doing that one thing that I should have done. And maybe I didn't know how to be honest with myself at the time. I mean, I'm not going to look back at it and really try to figure any of it out, because going into the past doesn't really, well, it's just a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. Like what I have is today and the future to go ahead and do that. I don't have to worry about the past or try to figure out the why. I lived that way for years. Why am I an alcoholic? Why? It just doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter anymore. So I really like secular AA, and I'm not going to say anything bad about regular AA, although part of me could. I could rant and go on, because that's kind of one of my personality traits to do such a thing. you know, but one of the things I've learned in the last year is it's more important to do the right thing than to be right. Like, forget about being right, just do right. You know, so if I, you know, wanted to say, oh, you know, blame mainstream AA for me not getting sober because they told me I had to believe in God, I couldn't believe in God. Well, that would just be ridiculous because lots of people do get sober in that way. But I just wish some people would have told me there was a different way. So I'm really grateful for the people that started up these secular meetings because I know it wasn't easy. There was a lot of conflict getting them going. And I don't really understand it because I've read a lot of stuff. I was going to read something, but I'm not going to read it anyway. It's in the Don't Tell book, and it was a letter from Bill Wilson in 1946, I believe, where he says, anybody, whether you believe in God, that none of that even matters to have a group. Yet you don't hear about that in AA. You just don't hear about it. And I think that it just does a lot of harm. I think about, I mean, even if one alcoholic walks into a room and says, sees these words, you know, God on the wall, and it turns them off and they walk out the doors, that's one too many. Like that person could die out there. People die every day. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have that, but let people know of the options. Like, why, when people come to an AA meeting and they come into a meeting, they go, I don't believe in God, why aren't they directed to a secular group? That's what I'd like to know. Like, what is it, a competition? Do we have to have the people in ours? I don't get it. Same goes if someone came to secular and said, you know, I really do believe in God. We could say, well, stay with us, or there's these other groups you could go to. We have to keep this open to everybody. And that's what I like about secular. It's more open. The way AA was meant to be, and what I've learned from people as in the beginning, it was much more open to everybody's beliefs. It's kind of gone the other way. But I think there's enough room for everybody, you know. For me, I get bored easy. So being in secular is really good because we do a lot more different topics. I can go to different meetings, do meditation. I can read different books. It's not just the two books, the big book and the 12 and 12, and that's it. And that's all you read. Like, it might be different in different parts of the world, but in the town of Fort Erie where I live, if I was to go to my meetings, and I do go to in-person traditional meetings, and if I was to say I'm an atheist or I don't believe in God, they'd be like, don't worry, Tracy, read the agnostics in the 12 and 12, stick around, do what we tell you to do, and you will get it. Well, there's a few things wrong with that. Number one, if I don't get it, then I feel like a piece of crap because I don't get it. What's wrong with me? And I'm already an alcoholic, so I've spent so much of my life feeling like, what's wrong with me? You know, why can't I get it? That it's just such a negative, negative thing. You know, I'm so, so happy I found Zoom because I could have went down that rabbit hole again. And I don't think I'd be sitting here. Well, I might be sober, but I wouldn't be feeling like I'm feeling now. I can tell you, for the first time in my life, I feel like I'm being my true self. I can express how I feel. I don't have to worry about going along with the group to say what I think they want me to say. You know, I can just be me. And I'm just loving the secular AA. I can't say enough about it. I really can't. For me, it saved my life. And it's made my life really full. And I love Zoom. I've started sponsoring people. And I'm meeting people from all over the world. And it's just wonderful. Last week, I actually got to go to Toronto and meet someone that goes to a Zoom meeting I go to in person. And that's so much fun when you get the opportunity to meet someone that you see in the little square box. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, so my goal in recovery when I go to any meeting, especially a traditional meeting, I'm not going to like stand up and say, hi, I'm an atheist and, you know, go to secular. But certainly if I see someone that gives me the feeling that they'd be more comfortable, at least I can be there to suggest that they can go there. Although a big part of me doesn't even want to go to those meetings at all, but it's all I have around me. And then there's also the, you know, how I wish someone would have told me about secular so I can be that person to tell somebody about it, because they're not going to hear about it at all around here. It's just not going to happen. I mean, like I say, I was over 30 years in the rooms of AA and never once, ever, ever heard that you can get sober without a higher power. It just didn't happen. And now I come to the rooms and I see all kinds of people that have many years of happy sobriety that are living good lives, you know. I mean, I think there's this fear that people have that if you're agnostic or atheist, that somehow you're a bad person and you don't know how to do good things. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, I've met some of the most wonderful people in these rooms that are good, loving, giving people. And, but I think once again, it's just our society makes us think certain ways about certain people, you know. Well, for alcoholics, for instance, right? If you're an alcoholic, you're somehow a terrible person and all this, and it's just not true. So I just really want to thank everybody for listening to me, and especially thank everyone that started up these secular groups. I mean, I can't thank you enough. I'll go into meetings and doing work and doing whatever I can, speaking what's ever asked of me to carry the message. That's my job today. I believe in the responsibility pledge and take it quite seriously. So anyway, that's enough of me, and we can listen to the next speaker. And thanks once again for letting me share.
Thanks, Tracy. I hope that wasn't too stomach turning, but to our other two speakers, she probably feels a lot of relief now, and your relief is coming soon. It was absolutely wonderful, Tracy. I got to hear someone speak for the first time at a meeting last night, and it's just like you never forget those sort of early accounts, and you hear people's thinking changes as they start to tell their story, and they develop an identity not only as an addict alcoholic, but as a one in recovery. It's just so, thanks for sharing with us, and I was very excited about this day that we were doing this, and thanks for kicking us off. Holly, don't hide.
Hello. Do I start now?
Yeah.
Cool, thank you. I'll start my timer. Hi, I'm Holly. I'm an exceptionally nervous alcoholic. And yeah, probably not about to be as eloquent as Tracy. But yeah, when I was asked to do this, I was quite hesitant because I don't class myself as a person that got sober on secular Zoom. So I think there's a little bit of a need to out myself right now that I got sober through a rehab, and I had one-to-one face-to-face contact, and I would not be sober without it. But I did get sober during a pandemic. Pre-pandemic, I was already living in the pandemic era alcoholic isolation lifestyle that some of us knew and loved for a while. I had turned to alcohol off the back of quite a bad psychotic break. Alcohol for me was to say that I walked into it quite openly sounds silly, and I don't want to say that to belittle an alcoholic experience, but I was in a real bad cycle of mental illness and overdosing, and alcoholic blackouts were less embarrassing and didn't end up in a section. And so I turned to that, and as we know, the addiction takes hold and grows legs of its own. And that's where I was. I'd walked out on a very successful career, lost a relationship, ended up in police custody, was homeless for a period of time. I was in quite a bad way, and I'd gone to AA. AA was counterproductive for me.
You just muted, Holly.
I didn't do that. I'm blaming you.
No, that was my fault. I was letting someone in. And anyway, sorry, Holly.
We'll just skip over that whole thing, the mental illness and all of it. Probably lucky I'm muted. Yeah, so I went to AA. It was counterproductive for me. I left full of shame. I left feeling very alone, and actually like I wasn't capable of getting sober. The promises, the promises were not made for me, because if I give up alcohol, I've got mental illness waiting. And I have nothing to get sober for. I have nothing. I have ridiculously low self-esteem, no capacity to do anything for myself. And the icing on the top was obviously the religion. And the first concert I ever paid to go and see was to see Richard Dawkins live. Like, I was never gonna buy into any kind of religion, I'm sorry, but it was just an icing on a cake for me as to why AA wasn't for me. So I was very reliant on the NHS. One singular person who I met face to face was the only person in the world that I spoke to. I was honest with him, and I could be honest with him. And between him and my probation officer, they were the only people I saw. I went into a rehab facility run by a charity during the pandemic, and it wasn't a 12-step rehab, 8.5 weeks of outpatient, and it got shut down and I had to leave and go back. And it was the first time that I'd ever had a bit of hope. And during that 8.5 weeks, I got my anger of AA out. Them doing the introduction to the first 3 steps, as they said, was the most interesting sessions they'd had doing the step work, because I was angry. And so I came out to a pandemic, sober, pandemic, being told that recovery capital, very, very important. You need Holly, you need to take charge of your own mental health, and you need to start opening up to people. You need to be around people. You need to not rush back into work. Education's so important for you. And there was a whole worldwide thing that just wasn't allowing any of that to happen. I've been on a waiting list for mental health support for over 2 years now, and that's only getting worse. I wanted to throw myself into sport. No, that's not going to happen. Gyms are closed, everything's closed. And practically, that was quite hard. I have this thing that I never thought that I'd have, which was hope. And it felt so fragile. And I was going to lose it. And I would, people talk about the gift of desperation, but I already had that. I had that yonks ago. But I found secular AA. I had to take control of things. I really did. The things that are outside your control was abundant. And I had to do what I could with the little that I had. And that was routine. Strict routine. That was setting aside my anger towards AA, going to AA, and doing the hard thing. So it's very easy to go and sit in a meeting, like massive size, sit in the back, say nothing. But I'd got so used to having this little voice now that told me, if you don't tell people how you feel, that's when your brain takes control. And obviously getting a sponsor, but I think Melinda's going to talk about that in probably a lot better way than I ever would, doing service. But the pandemic in a way had a benefit, and the benefit was that I had to slow down. It would have been very, very easy for me to go back to a career, because that's where my self-esteem lied. And I had to take things slower. It forced a slowing down of me, which was really helpful. It was horrible to see my friends and people's families go through all of this stuff, but in a way it allowed me to not feel like they were 5 years ahead of me and that I was so far behind. And it allowed me to have conversations with my friends that I probably never would have had, because everyone was going through shit, not just me and my addiction and my mental health. And yeah, that was really helpful. I think it allowed me to get back into education. Probably would have gone back to work, and I'm going to do my master's now. And just The only thing that I stick with is that I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I did have that one-to-one contact, that I had the chance to have that one-to-one contact, because I think that possibly if I'd gone into seeking help 6 months later, like proper mid-pandemic, I wouldn't have been able to get that. And I don't know if I would have made it. I really don't. And I love Zoom meetings. They're great. But there's some people that have more barriers to AA than just religion. Like, I genuinely hadn't. Having one person tangibly in my life consistently through a service taught me to trust people, taught me. He, like, coached me into these things. I needed so much hand-holding. And, yeah, so I think how I feel now is exceptionally grateful for my sobriety in general. And I am so eager to get out there and go and find people that the Zoom rooms don't reach, because I know that me 2 years ago wasn't looking in a Zoom room. I was caught between probation and somewhere else. And yeah, I think there was so much more that I had to say, but this is all going a bit Pete Tong. but yeah, just that. Just, I'm very eager to get out there now, and that I hope that I almost hope that I don't see some of you in the rooms, not because you've gone out, but because you've gone out to drag people in and doing things in the community and stuff. And because I want to go and help me 2 years ago, and the me 2 years ago needed in-person support. And yeah, just that's probably where I'll end. I'm sober, but I'm still mental, and yeah. There we go.
Wow, that's timing. Thanks, Holly. There were a couple things. I can't wait to hear this recording again, just to I want to hear it again, but the idea that there are more barriers to happy, healthy recovery than just worldview, and I think that's super important. But that was just wonderful. And Melinda.
Hi everyone, my name is Melinda, an alcoholic, and I'm going to really talk about my experience working through the steps in a secular way, which I did go through the traditional 12 steps, but looking at it a different perspective. Step one was pretty easy for me, admitting. I know some, but I knew before I really even had a problem, probably early first drink to my family. But I really wanted to go from step two, and I'm going to say the steps and then explain kind of how I worked it in a different way. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So for one thing is I had to really work step two to really understand what was I capable of in kind of a belief system, researching, like, well, what did I actually believe? And how can it be secular and still be this idea of a greater power? So I really saw it as the universe. And the idea is looking at the universe's great scope and myself in it. I always could say you can't affect the tides. The tides are going to come and go, but you could battle against them or go with them. So I really kind of got into that structure of appreciation for the universe and understanding that I could be in flux with it or fight against it. Then the third step made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Looking at this step, how do you do it without God? Well, one was looking at it as replacing the word God with universe was a very helpful method for me. And strange enough, the other component I did was I rewrote this third step prayer, changing it to what it was in with my beliefs and a kind of a secular view. And it really came down to understanding I had to have a willingness to go through the process, to change as a person and to work a program. I had to get out of myself. That was a big thing, is starting to understand that this process was going to involve me not seeing the world through always through my eyes. And then becoming responsible to overcome my problems. I know we hand it over to God, take care of it, but I realizing that I had to deal with it and I had to be responsible. And how do I do that? It's through the steps. And then, or obviously, then eventually helping others, becoming a sponsor for someone else. So I kind of went through, and that rewriting really helped me to feel comfortable in that step and to be able to understand it as a secular process. And then number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. One thing is, I thought about the moral concept of moral and some of my, what I call character defects or negative destructive patterns aren't necessarily can be considered moral of an issue. For example, I have fear, I have avoidance. And if you look at avoidance, when you avoid like conflict, sometimes that is a good thing. But I look at me and my alcoholism, and my avoidance was obviously very destructive. I avoided everything. I avoided my feelings, my fears, and that became very destructive. I put that into alcohol. And so going through that, I saw it differently, is the things that was destructive to me, to those around me, and things like the patterns that I had created to react and deal with the world were really negative. And I also realized through that process that I was incredibly driven by fear, and I continue to struggle with that. It's not like you go through step four and then you're fixed. But I will say going through step four is very cathartic and allowed me to really have a release, because I always say with step four, if you don't do it, what happens is you're playing the tape in your head over and over again. Well, if you write it down, you kind of stops. That tape stops going as much as it used to. It is a very great release to all those things. I mean, it's hard, but to me, it was very rewarding and helped me tremendously. Step five, admitting to God and to ourselves and to another human being. It was easy to talk with my sponsor. I have a really good relationship with my sponsor and going through that process. But when you admit to yourself and to someone else, it's out in the universe. So into that perspective, I felt that I was in that concept of a higher power. I was able just to say it out loud, just to get it out of yourself, was just as effective as the concept of like a traditional God for me. Then we are entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Again, this is another God one. And it was really that about willingness. Was I willing to let go? Because some of our patterns, like avoidance for me, as I mentioned before, is hard to let go of. I'm so comfortable in it. It's something that my go-to, avoid pain, avoid stress. And so having the willingness to slowly, and it's slowly for some of these things I was able to release pretty easily and keep in check, but some of the really difficult ones is my constantly kind of having that willingness to repeat, you know, have that open-mindedness, have the ability to let go, not control everything. So that was kind of my process through step six. And then the idea of humbly asking him to remove our shortcomings, I kind of put thinking about it, basically releasing it to the universe, releasing the past, releasing all those things that, you know, you've written down, you've talked about, you've gone through your resentments, and you're starting to just let them go. And you wrote it down, but now we're actually trying to release it. And so I really looked at it as like just releasing it, that energy, that negativity into the universe. So it was something more on a secular basis versus to a God and saying, oh, take care of me. I wanted to take responsibility and release it, those habits, and giving up some of those bad habits that I had, which were destructive. And then eight and nine, you know, are pretty easy to deal with in a secular way. And I'm actually, this is my second time working the steps through, and I'm on eight and nine right now. I'm at, just under 10 months sober. So I'm working through my eight and nine, and it's difficult. It's a hard step. There's a lot of easy ones where you feel the comfort that the person will accept you. And then you have ones like an old boss where you're now putting it out there within your professional world. How do you do that? And the fears of that and discrimination. So I'm really kind of dealing with that one right now. So in the heat of it, but I had previously worked through step 10 and 11. And I think about step 11 is a secular concept. I really appreciate how even in the traditional step, it talks about meditation. So we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact again, with God, for me, instead of God, it's the universe. It's a substitute for something of my concept of a higher power. And having knowledge to be understanding, like the kind of, again, the serenity prayer is a prayer, but I take it very secularly, is like trying to control the things we cannot change. And that's a really hard thing for me. And I think for a lot of alcoholics, is we want to control because that fear of unknown and all those emotions. So being able to let it go on a daily basis, constantly practicing this step is, for me, I repeat my rewritten third step throughout the day, which really helps me to let go. And part of my step 11 in meditation, but it's also being out in nature, because I value the power of the universe. I take walks, I hike, and I run, and work through some of my step 10 elements that I had to deal with, some of my new resentments or worries when I go out in nature. And as you can see, I do love nature. That helps me process everything. That helps me get through and work through step 10, so that working on not having new resentments, and not that I don't develop them, but that kind of helps me. And then the 12th step, I really just am looking forward to helping others. I'm fortunate I went through a residential program. So there's some women that I went through the program with, and we keep in touch and work together to help each other and just be there for each other. So so it's been really interesting going through it secularly, and it's really helped me, because I really was turned off by the God concept and that push of being in a bubble of kind of a Judeo-Christian concept. And I hated the agnostic section. I hated that chapter in the book, and because I really felt that it was like, well, don't worry, eventually you'll find God. And to go through and find books that help you through the steps in a secular way really helped me overcome like step 2 and 3, which it did take me a few weeks to do. So I think it's possible. And then coming into secular meetings has been wonderful to me, because it's kind of a more free, open group where there may be people that are religious, agnostic, and atheists, and we can kind of come together in a safe environment where some of my regular meetings, I get invited to Bible studies, and I feel really uncomfortable, but it's really great to find a safe space and a safe way of going through these really important steps we do in our recovery. So that's all I have. I didn't get the buzzer.
I should have brought a buzzer.
Okay. Maybe I did go over. My apology.
No, that was fantastic. That was, oh man, this has been great. Very soon I'm going to sort of open up the floor to the rest of you to sort of participate. And again, we don't have a hard and fast no crosstalk rule, so you can ask questions if you want, or just talk about your own stuff. But I do want to ask one question of our three. I will call you three persons with expertise. Like if you've all talked about how secular AA has been a factor in moving the dial and finding sobriety. And you're good living examples of that. So that's good. Having no belief in a supernatural power isn't a barrier for getting sober. But as people who remember your first meetings and remembering why you might have chosen what secular meeting you settled into as sort of a home group or a base, what could we do better? Do you believe we could do just to have the word, sort of just so that it's not a well-kept secret, so that the general public was aware that there's a secular version of Alcoholics Anonymous, and what can our secular groups do that are less barrier building, that are more sort of welcoming to people in their new days of sobriety, so that even more people that are sober curious see a viable option for them here. And in no particular order, I'd like each of the panelists to just sort of speak to that if they would. What can we do better?
Joe, is the question on Zoom related? So what could we do as a Zoom community to keep newcomers in or to welcome newcomers in? Or is it just what could we do as a community in general?
Either or. However you frame it, it's going to be perfect.
I think for me, in terms of where I picked my home group, was something very, very simple. Was that the people didn't allow me to be too anonymous. Meetings where you go, where people say hello as people enter, it scares the absolute bejeebus out of me, but it didn't allow me to melt into the background. And I stick around smaller meetings for that, I think. I get very on my soapbox about what we could do as a community, but I am ready to cause a ruckus, to be honest. I am so out and proud as an atheist sober mental lady that I really, really think that everybody in this room has a very important voice, and that if you can stand it, if you can stand it to go and exist in those spaces, and as long as you're protecting your own sobriety, and that we've got a really strong community here that exists to soundboard all of the shit and go, I had this and I had that, but I hope we use it to springboard outwards and not to just stay in an echo chamber on Zoom. But that's just me. I'm an activist. So hope that answers the question.
Fantastic.
Hi, this is Melinda, alcoholic. And I would say, I don't really have a good answer for the solution, but it's for people, they get introduced to AA, but it's just the traditional. And I've actually found this group and my home group for Arizona through my therapist, through Kaiser. And I don't know how to get it known, but she just basically did a search for me and found this group. And because I think one of the problems is you come in and you don't know, there is a concept of secular AA. People get so, well, you don't really believe, then go to Smart Recovery. But it's the idea of in a traditional type of 12-step program, you can't have secular AA. I know we're not supposed to promote, but it's like, how do you somewhat passively promote or get the word out in other places? And if maybe there could be more prominence in the AA website or something, so that those that go searching can find it pretty easily versus after they've gone to some meetings that may have turned them off to this whole concept. So I'm really grateful that I got it through Kaiser, and I would have eventually probably found it, but it just takes a little longer and patience.
Thanks a lot.
I don't know, have that much to say about this, because I just don't know how, unless secular is mentioned in traditional meetings, how it would get out there. And I'm afraid that's not going to happen. I guess my one thought is, and I don't know whether this happens or not, but when someone calls into the AA hotline, people should probably be informed that they're secular and God-based AA. That would be a nice thing to get out there. Or even like a newspaper article or something, you know, like that. The only other thing I would say, and this is really simple, but it sounds, you know, when you go on the website to find meetings, the AA website on Zoom, secular is way at the bottom. Like, you have to scroll down to it. It's too bad we could put a secular and have it up at the top. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, maybe we should call ourselves atheist agnostics, but then we leave some of the people out.
But it'd be nice. It's a simple thing, but truly, like, sometimes you don't scroll, like, it's not on that first page of options. So if it was up at the top, it would.
Yeah.
Who knows? Thanks.
That's an old Craig F., host of a late night show. He did a famous routine, and he was talking about how he's a member of a fellowship. He's not going to say what it is, but it's very near the front of the phone book. if you know what I'm saying. I'm going to start calling on people. I've got a couple of announcements. Next month, the 26th of September, we have John S., who is the podcaster known as Beyond Belief Sobriety. And he is going to be our guest. And his sort of free thinking transformation and growth in AA has been live. Like he's had a lot of podcasts and a lot of that sort of stuff out. I think he's one of the best, most knowledgeable of varieties of recovery, even beyond AA's borders. And it'll be great to put him from the host seat into the guest seat and have him as our guest. We are going to open up the chat so you can talk amongst yourselves and post announcements for upcoming gigs during the sort of everybody else sharing sort of thing. So please feel free to do that. We try to create as much community spirit as we want. Let's see. The website, this will be recorded, blah, blah, blah. Let's get on with the show. I'm going to call on, if I may, my friend Jen B., currently from Santa Fe.
Hello, I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic. And thanks for this afternoon's presentations. I enjoyed them very much. I wanted to answer one of your questions, Joe. For me, well, I have one idea. Talk to Google. And maybe also find a search word, keyword as just secular recovery, not secular AA, because we could be in under that umbrella. Oh, AA too, you got the life ring, you got, the other one, and I can't think of it. And AA, guess what? AA too. So somehow work it out as a search on Google. The other is for me personally, I have put myself on the line. I don't know if it's going to happen yet because we're not at that point in the choice of workshops, but I am part of the organizing committee for the IWC, which I never heard of until I was in the meeting saying, we won the bid for the IWC. And I'm like, what's that? And it's the International Women's Conference of AA, but that's not the name of it, of AA. It's just the International Women's Conference. It's not advertised as an AA thing, but it is. And it's this year's the 58th coming up in February, and it's here in Santa Fe. And I decided I was going to get involved because I'm new here and I'm trying to make friends. Well, I've been making some enemies, but that's okay. So I'm on the printing and graphics committee, and it turns out to be a pretty powerful position. But on top of that, I decided to organize a panel of secular AA women. And that's how I am getting the word out here this year. This won't be the first time that the IWC had panels with secular topics. There were two of them in Phoenix in 2018. And there was one in another city, they had one. But that's it, 58 years, two conferences had secular topics. So this year I'm hoping the six of us, I wish I could tell you their names, but I'm running out of time because you know some of them, but we're all getting together and hopefully this panel is being approved and we're gonna be talking about everything about secular AA, even though they think it's just our experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you very much, Jen. And wish I could go, but glad there's a space. You reminded me, the International Conference of Secular AA, it's 2 months now, almost to the day, to the planned replacement date for the 2020 in-person fourth biennial conference in Washington, D.C. And it was voted on and agreed to postpone again for another year. COVID numbers going up. We'd really like to do it when they've been going down for several months in a row. If just one person got sick or died from being at the conference or traveling to the conference, it would really cast a dark shadow on an otherwise sort of positive subculture experience we've been having since COVID started. So I know I've made plans. I've got a carload ready to go. Many people have booked, travel arrangements. The hotel, you can either rebook for the last weekend in October with the conference. You can either get refunded your registration or allocate it to the following year, whatever, there's no penalty for either of those things. And we will be planning a virtual international secular AA Zoom conference to replace it. And Jen, you reminded me, we're also talking about our structure. We're young compared to the International Conference of Young People, the Women's International Gala, the International Conference for the LGBTQIA plus community. And we're going to try to create a panel of people from those organizations just to talk about, structure and organization and what they've learned over the years. And because we're the committee are students of all this sort of stuff, trying to find the best way to do things. So anyway, if that's news to you, it's kind of bad news. It's just kind of news. And there will be a formal announcement coming out soon. And if you have any questions, email secularaa@gmail.com, and they'll be able to sort of steer you to whatever you need, refunding, rebooking, what have you. Jenny, please.
Still on mute when I I hear it. No, I'm still on it. Oh, can you hear me? Yeah, sorry. Thought my little one was coming in. Well, hi, I'm Jenny. I'm an alcoholic. Oh, thanks for the meeting, Joe. And thanks for your shares, Melinda, Holly, and Tracy. They were boss like. They were boss. I'm in the area, but what you were saying there has really helped me think of something in a different way. What you all said was just so helpful and valuable. And like, I think Holly, you said, that's like a really good idea, I think. I mean, babbling now because I'm nervous, sorry. Yeah, basically, I've tried the traditional, some of you probably heard me say, and I was at the point where I'm not knocking it. I know it works for some people and I'm made up, it works for them, that's great. But I was about to knock someone out, do you know what I mean? I just had enough, I think it was Tracy said, I found myself trying to make myself believe and do things and say things because I felt like there was nowhere else to go. But it was all just felt hollow because I knew in my gut I didn't really get it. So this is amazing. And I was at the point where I'm never setting foot in one of them again. That's just me personally. But after listening to what someone said at a meeting earlier today and what Holly just said then, I think maybe if each and every one of us went into a normal, to a traditional one, and not to cause trouble or anything, but just to say at the end of it, if anyone was interested, and it would kind of make me so angry inside. I'm sorry, that's just me because I'm new to being there. But I found this purely because I spent hours and hours days trawling through the internet. And I'm not dead tech savvy, but I know what I'm doing. And it wasn't easy to find. It really wasn't easy to find. But some people, for various reasons, some might be, you know, literacy, or they're that rough at the moment with the thing, they wouldn't either be able to or have the capability or the practical means to do that. They might not have a laptop, you know, they might not have a, you know, things that I know loads of people do, but some people don't. So yeah, that's just an idea that I think, wow, yeah, because it's not about me or me being pissed off. It's about, because I know I was at the point where if I hadn't found this literally 2-3 weeks ago, I didn't want to drink, but I was going to jib off AA and everyone and everything to do with it, because I just thought, I won't say what I thought, but you know, it was like I'd had enough. And I only found myself there again after in and out the odd time for 2 years. And it's like I wanted to shake someone and go, why did I not know this existed? So like, yeah, I think we really, and I know it's hard, isn't it? Because you're not meant to do all that, you know, it's on based on attraction, not promotion and all that. But at the end of the day, as I say, I'm new, so I might be being really naive, but it's nearly 100 years on. Things have changed. So maybe, I'm not saying I'm coming here to change the whole AA structure, but I just mean, you know, the need. Yeah, I agree. I don't know, because I'm new, but it needs addressing. Is that my time up? Sorry. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Let's see. Don R., please.
Hi, I'm Don. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks, Joe. And thanks to the speakers. They were really terrific presentations. And some of the things that stuck out, I should introduce myself by way of, I grew up in secular, traditional AA. My first experience of AA was in a secular group, or not a traditional group. And indeed, to this day, I'm in a traditional group. And the reason I'm in a here is I'm also very much a non-believer. I'm an agnostic. That means I don't know. And but I don't feel comfortable with the God idea at all. And the group I'm in now, I left one group and came to another one. And I told them on my first night in a discussion meeting that I don't believe in a God. And the next thing I knew, over half the people in the room sort of stuck up their hand and said, me too, me too. And there we were, coexisting as the majority in a allegedly traditional group. And we did have people who, and still do have people who believe quite strongly in God. And I think that what I've grown from, got from this over the years is, and the group I left, I had said the same thing at a meeting that I was, because I really did try the God thing. I did the praying and I did this and I did that. And, I finally just admitted to myself, that is not me. And, so I sobered up using all that stuff, but it wasn't me. And when I allowed how that's the way I was to the group, they said, Don, if you just pray a little harder and pray a little longer, it'll all be okay. And I thought that was bullshit. I still think that's bullshit. But, you know, I can't remember. It was one of the speakers. I think it might have Tracy. The people were wonderful to me. I mean, they're the ones who helped me sober up, and I had great respect for them, and I still have great respect for them. And I think if we want to make, if we as free thinkers want to be on anybody's agenda, you know, if you want to be trusted, you have to trust. And I think if you want to be respected, you have to respect. And I'm always concerned when I hear a rant going on about traditional AA. The reason a lot of traditional AA people, when they find out that you're an atheist or an agnostic, don't refer you to an atheist or agnostic group is they don't even know we exist. They really don't know we exist. And I think there's ways that they can find out. And one of them is don't cut off ties with people who are in traditional AA. It's amazing. You might get asked to speak at a traditional AA meeting. And there's no reason why you can't mention what you are. And I've got the time signal here, but I think you get the idea where I was going on that. Or maybe I was getting the time signal because nobody wants me to go there. Anyway, thanks a lot for putting up with me. Bye now.
Oh, no, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much, Don. Gary.
There you go. Can you hear me, Joe? All right, great. Hi, my name is Gary Niffin. I'm an alcoholic. And Kenji waved his hand because he spoke at a regular AA meeting a couple of weeks ago, and he was great. They loved him. Since I discovered secular AA in the past year, and by the way, I got sober in New York City. There was one well-known group, We Agnostics. I knew that for years. I just never wound up going there. But in any case, I was so enthralled with secular AA, I started taking topics that I heard in secular AA meetings and presenting them at regular AA meetings as topics of the day. And by and large, they were overwhelmingly accepted, and people were enthused because it seemed a little bit different from what they were used to. I didn't say these came from free thinkers meetings. I just said, well, this is a topic that I would want to suggest today. Now, in the past month, I've gotten a couple of people that I've met and become friends with here on Zoom, Kenji, for example, and Jeb, the Grateful Jeb, to speak at regular New York City meetings. And they were both enthusiastically received. You think what an acorn can do, because you know what it'll grow into. And once you start planting the seed, then you might be surprised in a year, 2 years, or 5 years from now. And I've taken friends of mine here in Naples to secular meetings online. When I do tell them these secular meetings, I said they're a more open type of AA meeting. And I describe them as agnostic and free thinkers meeting. I omit the word atheist because to a lot of people, the word atheist represents a negative connotation, which is fine. I have no problems in saying in front of a group of people that I'm an atheist. Everyone that knows me down here in Naples knows that I have no religious beliefs. But at the same time, I do not knock the belief in a God. A lot of people, to get by in life, really need to have that type of belief. And I accept that. And I see a lot of very nice people down here who have strong beliefs in their God. And I accept that quite well. The only time I object when I see someone who's a believer, say, when they start to proselytize in an AA meeting, I feel very strongly against that. And I always, always speak up. And I've always had the same result. Usually after a meeting like that, you'll find 100 or 150 people sitting in a room, at least two or three people will come up to me afterwards and say something like, you know, I was sitting there feeling all alone until you spoke up. And there are a lot of people in regular AA meetings. I'll close. A lot of people in regular AA meetings who would like to know about these types of meetings. And one last thing. I don't quite view these meetings as meetings. I view them as very interesting discussions. I've never been bored sitting in a secular meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's see. I think Mike's next.
Me? Mike, alcoholic and grateful member of Beyond Belief Toronto. And the global secular community. So, Joe, when you asked what we could do better, one of the things is we could advertise these things better. I only heard about this on Friday at the London Freethinker meeting. So I think we need to have kind of like one spot where it's kind of like the old bulletin board concept where every group can kind of put up their own little events. And we can kind of go through them and figure out which ones we want to attend. So that's one thing we can do better. It's so great to see Holly. I haven't seen her in such a while. And Antonia here from London as well. or from where she's from. But I met them over in London, Freethinkers, and Holly helped me out a lot with some questions I had about how her group runs things and how we could run things in Toronto. So there's that kind of helping each other out community that I love so much about secular. Tracy, I've seen you in Toronto Beyond Belief meetings, and I always love somebody that doesn't have filter that says what she means. And that's very refreshing. I wish I could be more like that, but I'm not, unfortunately. And Melinda, I haven't seen you before, but I get the feeling we have kind of like the same kind of thought process. Seems like you've gone into a lot of work to understand how to adjust everything and have it fit your program. And that's what I kind of grappled with in the early days as well. How do I structure this program in a way that it benefits me? It doesn't work for anybody else, but it works for me. And it's good to hear that you're doing that as well. And thanks for this meeting.
Thank you very much. Let's see, Kenji.
Hi, everybody. Kenji, addict, alcoholic. Man, this has been a fantastic meeting. I totally grooved on all three speakers. You all did a terrific job. And this topic is, and all the sharing back afterwards, this topic is so personal to me. Let me start my timer here. Because I first darkened the doorway of AA in 1982, so almost 40 years ago. And for most of the time, since then, I've considered myself an AA member. I relapsed after 8 years of sobriety in the early 90s and was gone for several years. I had a lot of money in the bank at the time, blew through it all, ended up homeless, and still couldn't pull myself back. But all the way through that time, for those years that I didn't darken a single AA doorway, I darkened plenty of doorways, but none of them were AA or other 12-step programs. I always knew that my only chance of getting a life back was to get back here. Here being at that point traditional AA in actual physical rooms. I just wasn't willing or able to tear myself away from the mission to actually do it today for quite a few days, right? It turned into years. But compliments of the pandemic and Zoom and you guys, I'm a Zoom baby. I mean, I picked up a 9-month ship. I actually went to an in-person meeting for my first time since the pandemic started to put on my mask and went into a room to pick up an actual physical chip and didn't relate to what was being said there at all. The acoustics in that particular room were absolutely horrible. I couldn't even hear what people were saying, let alone relate to it. But my home is here now, is here with you. I was looking around during the meeting, looking at the matrix of faces, and I know more than half of you, and I don't see a single face that is like, oh no, not that person. I just find my affinity to this thing that we've got worldwide on Zoom is just amazing. And I really can see and feel myself as reborn into this secular Zoom worldwide deal. And it's, and even as I say that, I just feel kind of a chill go down me and this warmth in here that, I mean, what I'm saying is real. I'm not just spouting words. It's awesome. And I totally don't want to throw it away by going back out there again, which I've done so many times over the 40 years I've been here. I think I really feel like it's behind me. It's certainly behind me today. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Kenji. We've got Rochelle, then we've got a phone on deck, and then Dave from Scotland. So go ahead, Rochelle, please.
Hi, I'm Rochelle. I'm an alcoholic. I just had to speak because it was so lovely to come to a meeting and listen to three badass women talk about their experience getting sober in secular AA. I won't rant on because I'm sure like loads of people want to talk and we're a bit limited on time. But yeah, just even in itself that there's like three women speaking at a meeting that had 84 people at one point. You just would never get that in traditional AA. You'd get man, woman, woman, or woman, man, woman, because, you know, clearly only a man can relate to a man and a woman can relate to a woman. And let's not think about anyone with different other gender orientations or whatever else. I love the fact that secular AA is more about people relating to people and none of that other bullshit, and just all the old school stuff is gone. I got sober in AA in Australia in 2018 in Adelaide, which is like pretty backward, and didn't stay sober after a year and a half because of the God thing, because I was forced to prayer, because I went to a really, really strongly 12-step and not very healthy rehab center for 3 months that I privately paid for $45K, had to make a complaint against them. It was just a total shit show. Got my own mental health stuff as well, so totally relate to that too. A bunch of other traumas that we all have, you know, but very specific to women as well. So, you know, there's, I like the fact that it was mentioned, the hand holding, because it really does my head in that, you know, people in traditional AA, you're sort of told that, you know, if you want it, you need to go and get it. Well, actually, if you've got mental health issues and you can't get out of bed, you're not going to fucking make a phone call. You're just not. I can't have a sponsor. I've learned that through having so many of them. My trust issues are just too, it's too triggering if I get let down. So I'm better off sort of finding my own way by slowly making friends with people and just trying my best there. I've just come back from a relapse. I still feel like I'm in recovery regardless of having had relapses this year, because it's also a bit old school to think that relapses aren't going to happen. The pandemic has been really hard, so thanks. My family's in Australia and I'm in London, so that's been pretty hard for me. I'm pretty isolated. So yeah, it was really nice just to hear the honesty and the relatability. And also this topic is really refreshing because there's a lot of us. And, you know, I think it's also worth mentioning, like, even though we say that traditional AA works for a lot of people, it also doesn't work for a lot of people. There's a lot of people that walk in there. There's a lot of people that leave. There's a lot of people that are still drinking. I work in social services. I know so many people that go into AA and leave. So we need it, something that is accessible to vulnerable people as well as people who are privileged, which is all of us that have stayed sober. I'm going to say one more quick thing, even though I did note the time thing. In answer to the question that was said about how to make this more accessible, if anyone has time to look on the Australian AA website, they've actually put a drop-down bar that says you can choose what type of meeting you want. So there's LGBTQI, there's secular, there's male, there's women, there's a whole list. That could be something that could be added onto the platform to make it a bit more streamlined. Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Great point. Yeah, I'm always surprised when I still hear in secular AA, I don't know. I don't have a sponsor, so I shouldn't say, or I don't work the steps, so I shouldn't say, as if that's the AA way. And, you know, 4 out of 5 people have sponsors in AA, according to the triennial survey. That means 400 to 500,000 AA members are successfully sober without one. That's a pretty substantial and legitimate option. And I don't even know how many people work the steps. I did with good results, but I don't know that that got me sober. But anyway, you brought up a lot, Rochelle. Thank you. And if we could hear from 757 number.
This is Flip Phone Jack, addict, codependent, dysfunctional adult child in recovery.
Hello.
Hello. I can relate to anyone when they share their experience with how the actions they take in recovery are helping them to stay sober. And the less people say about their belief systems, the better. And I'm not interested to convert people one way or the other. Whatever people believe, it's their personal decision. But there is a kind of residue in the 12-step movement from the Oxford movement that AA was kind of born out of. And the Oxford movement was a religious organization that used the addiction crisis to convert people. And AA, I think, was more successful because they at least said, of your understanding, which was suggested by one of the early atheists and agnostics in the group. I recently read a quote from Bill Wilson where he was kind of marveling at the diversity in AA and all the different people from different backgrounds and orientations and races and all this kind of stuff. And he also mentioned atheists and agnostics, and he seemed thrilled about the idea. But AA as a fellowship in general has not sort of adopted that same attitude. I think it took, I'm going to need the time limit out loud because I can't see a chat or anything, but I mean, it took AA 20 years to approve of a Grapevine issue featuring the experiences of atheists and agnostics in AA. So, I mean, it isn't as though AA doesn't know about atheists and agnostics. And depending on what area you're in, there are some areas that will list free thinkers or secular meetings, and there are some areas that will not include them in their meeting list. And that's true no matter what fellowship I've gotten involved with. There's just certain, but it is difficult to see that kind of dishonest pressure. We're not going to tell you what to believe, but you have to believe in something. And all of the relapse that I've seen from people who are, you know, spending so much time on the third step that they never take the fourth step, and they never really make the kind of progress. And people are on different paths, and people do it in all sorts of ways. And I'm involved in recovery fellowships where people from completely different programs like Smart Recovery or what have you. And there's just all sorts of different ways. And I mean, I don't think pressuring people about what they believe is healthy. I think that we should make just some brief statement, like some people find concepts of higher powers to be helpful for them, but wherever you stand on the subject of spirituality, it's your own personal prerogative. And we think it's a personal and a private matter, and we should keep it to ourselves and focus on our common experience, which is through the actions that we take. And I mean, for me, like the fact that just taking these actions one day at a time got me to the point where I no longer live with this constant craving for alcohol, where it, you know, other than an occasional passing thought or an occasional dream, there's no serious intention behind it. And when it comes up, I recoil as though from a hot flame, and I've been able to casually and respectfully and calmly and politely decline drinks when they've been offered to me over the years. And I mean, there's a lot of times I've been in situations people don't think to offer me a drink. It's just like not a part of who I am anymore. And that's unbelievable. I would never have imagined that would be possible. And AA had a lot to do with that. Is that 1 minute?
That's time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll leave it at that. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate having you on. We've got Dave from Scotland and Robert from Montreal on deck.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I don't know what your name is, mate. Sorry. Anyway, cheers for cheering. Yeah, I'm Dave, and I'm an alcoholic, and yeah, I really enjoyed this, and I try not to say these things just because it's the bog standard thing to say, you know, obviously when we go to meetings, if sometimes just by whatever rote or conditioning, say this or that, they are, but I've enjoyed the vibe of it, and the honesty from, and I really, you know, like the speakers as well, all their takes on just their perspectives of how to stay sober without the need to, you know, roll out, you know, I believe in God or whatever, you know, blah, 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 blah. And this has been said already, you know, if somebody wants to believe in that there, that's the, you know, who am I to stop them? Because it's probably going to be detrimental to me anyway. I suppose what fucks me off sometimes in meetings is the cross-talking. You know, well, you know, and a kind of covert form of bullying, slightly. You know, it's been just a number. You know, it's been 27 years for me. You know, since I've not taken any alcohol or drugs. And I was just when I got to the point of stopping drinking, I suppose I just loved the fact that people were kind of accepting me for who I was. You know, or just accepting me and were listening to me. Blah blah blah. And I don't know how it evolved in my brain or my soul or whatever that I've kind of changed. I think it's probably my ability to work in my codependency over the years, where intuitively I've made decisions to not just say the thing that I think others want me to say. I kind of just try and get a little bit more peace with myself. What do you really want to say here, Dave? What do you really believe? Or, you know, what are you just saying because you think others want you to say it? And that has been good for me. But the kind of slight downside is, I suppose, I'm having a little bit of, it's not a war or a battle with myself, but I'm a little bit, I'm not really looking forward to going back to face-to-face. I actually went to face-to-face on Monday. I've only been to like 4 over lockdown. I went to one on Monday, and I won't be going back. I won't be going back soon, to be honest. It was like, have I missed much? Not really. But it's a particular person. He's out on his own, and he is classed in my community as a bit of a bully because he cross-shares. He cross-shares some things in a covert way and an overt way, you know, a really in-your-face kind of way. And today I don't like to take like shit from folk. I don't like to kind of stand back, and I find it difficult to be passive in that sense there. So honestly, over the last few months, I'm like formulating discussions in my head. But I'm there. Sorry. Somebody saying time?
I saw the time signal. Yeah, just wrap it up if you can.
Yeah, sure. So, I need to probably find ways of just letting that stuff go and finding, you know, my own acceptance of that. Anyway, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. Robert.
Hi, everyone. My name is an alcoholic. I'm happy to be here. And I just really wanted to thank the speakers. I enjoyed what they had to say, and I could certainly relate to a lot of it. In terms of, what's the secular AA movement and how we relate to, or how if we can get along with traditional AA, it's kind of, I think I see it in a kind of developmental sort of way, or even an evolutionary kind of way, that, you know, I understand that AA began and they didn't really know what to do about how to save these drunks from themselves, and they latched on to, you know, faith in God is a really powerful thing. I don't particularly have it, but when I see it, you know, in others, I understand. Sure. If you can convince yourself of something, and especially something powerful like God, you know, that's pretty strong stuff to have on your side. So I don't have a problem understanding why that happens. But what I also think is that personally, I think, you know, the whole notion of addiction and how it works is something that we're coming to understand more as time goes on. And really, for me, I think what works is just people getting together who are, you know, have this common interest to stay sober, and they come to meet some people, and they, you know, they develop some friendships and so on, and that really matters. So for me, a dilemma was, should I continue to go to the traditional meetings that I was going to? And two of them are kind of like my home groups. And at first I was thinking maybe I should stop, you know, but then I thought, well, no, some of my best friends in AA are in traditional meetings, and I don't want to sort of, and, you know, stop seeing those people and being around them, because all in all, the message is the same for everyone. It's to help them to stay sober. The methods don't work for me, and it used to cause me a lot of, you know, irritation at times. But now I kind of think, well, if that works for them, well, who am I to say? But that wouldn't work for me. And so I'm just trying to figure out, and it's an ongoing process, how to sort of coexist with people that think that way and believe those things. And also, I do believe that there are many of us who are, you know, more secular minded, and I'm sure that's rubbing off on, as others have said, people that are in traditional meetings and maybe don't really believe that stuff, but don't know what else, you know, to do about it. And so the more people have the opportunity to see that there, you know, there's a growing secular sort of possibility for them, I expect that the more people will come along as time goes on. So I think it's all good, and I'm really glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. We're rolling down, reaching the end. When we close up formally, we can hang around. Some things just can't be said in a 3-minute, sound bite. So hang around if you like. And if there's anyone else who'd like to add, or if any of our speakers already have I should have said this. Life is full of second chances. Anybody? John or anybody else, are there any other sort of last minute announcements? I mentioned John S. will be our guest next month on the 26th of September. And information for that has already been posted.
And I wanted to mention, Joe, that you can save the chat if you want to get the information that's in the chat. Maybe it went by too fast. It's all available by clicking on the little three dots on the side and downloading the file. I also wanted to mention that Freethinkers Living Sober meetings will continue regardless of what happens with COVID. We're planning on keeping our meetings going as Zoom meetings. I just thought I would mention that. And I want to thank Joe and the speakers for a wonderful job and all of the participants. Thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, thanks. That was just that was a fantastic meeting. I was really glad to be a part of it. And for those of you who wish, we usually close with a cacophony of chaos known as the Responsibility Declaration. I think everyone can unmute if they want to add to the damage. And, mouth the words if you're not sure of them. 3, 2, 1.
I am responsible.
Thank you, Joe.
Watch out, Warner Tabernacle Choir. We're coming for you.
Thank you.
No doubt.